Gary Jensen, if you would like to make some comments.
Sure. Commissioner Gary Jensen, the issue of resident versus non-resident is increasingly before us here at the commission and sensitive. Maybe it's always been there, certainly seems true for waterfowl. Now we have deer issues squarely in front of us, and on the other hand, maybe it's not as big an issue as it sometimes can seem to be here, given the communications we get. But I think there is a consensus on the commission to have an informed and thoughtful discussion on the issue and an open, direct, frank conversation soliciting public comment involvement, with the idea maybe of having a spirited discussion along with some spirited listening and an open mind. I think we're expected here at the commission and expect ourselves to make decisions based on facts and science, social and biological science, not just emotion. So we try our very best to do that, and hopefully this will be a discussion that helps get us there. But before saying anything else, I want to make clear that, I mean, this is a commission-raised subject and topic. It's not the department where the commission is having this discussion, because we have to make rules, and we're trying to do the best that we can. In the public materials, there's a one-page outline that sets out the subjects, or at least nine of the subjects or issues that we're going to address, and we invite everybody to look close and tell us what they think. So number one on that list is, what is a resident and what is a non-resident? South Dakota statute sets that out pretty clearly. I'm not going to go through that, but if anybody wants to know, it's defined in South Dakota statute. Number two on the list is, who are non-residents? Are they family, friends, customers, strangers? Can we identify them? Does it matter who they are? Why? I believe at the current time we don't really know who non-residents are. We know their state of residence, gender, and age. And I suspect it would be relatively easy to find out more about non-residents and who they are. And are they family and friends, and are they here for business reasons? Perhaps they host South Dakotans in their own state. And so I'm just, one of the things that I think, I hope we discuss is, would it be beneficial to know who the non-residents are? It might cast a different light sometimes on the discussion that we have. Number three is, what are some of the reasons that those who propose restrictions for non-residents have? And so some of those reasons include, look what happened to residents with regard to pheasant hunting. There's crowding, there's access issues, there's restrictions in other states. So, I mean, what are all the reasons that support proposed restrictions and limitations? Are they real or are they perceived? And then how do we determine objectively, scientifically, if those issues are real? I think we've learned through waterfowl and other issues that trying to make those determinations in a scientific matter can be done, but they're challenging. Those studies are challenging, and they're expensive, and I'm sure our staff could do it and do it very well. But towards what end and at what cost, and instead of what other projects? And I know there are some that think that no matter the results of those surveys, it's not going to change very many people's opinion, and I don't know if that's true or not. But another issue for the public is, does the public want to know the facts and figures? Are there really crowding issues? Are there really access issues? Four on the list is, what are the factors that the commission should consider? There's a long list that you could put there. Should tourism and economic drivers be factors that the commission considers? I don't believe we ever have. And I don't know if anybody's suggesting that now, but those are real issues and real factors. Should they be considered or not? Does the public think we should consider them? Tourism, as we know, is a big business in South Dakota. It's number two, probably, behind agriculture. We have a whole department that's of state government that's devoted to marketing the state. So are those considerations that we should have in mind? And should the commission have goals or quotas, or should we determine how many residents? Should we have more? Should we have fewer? Does it make a difference based on the critter or the fish or what? And I know we have an 8% rule in the deer world, but I don't know as anybody has ever been able to determine why we have an 8% rule. It's just a number that has been there. Is that the right number or not? So what does the public think about that? What should the commission think about that? The whole subject of tourism and other economic drivers. Number five on that list is there a legal basis for a distinction? And there is. Number six on the list is what is the true non-resident financial impact? If you round off the numbers, it seems that the non-resident fee part of the Game, Fish, and Parks wildlife budget is something over 30% of the budget. For fiscal year 1919, the estimated revenue was something over $50 million. Non-residents contributed $17 million, which is about 34%. And if you add on to that the federal money that we get from excise taxes, that's another $17,000 roughly. So you're at whatever that is, $35 million, which is a lot of money. And then we also have the issue of federal lands, which of course are owned by citizens of the United States. Again, we've never made decisions based on those economic facts. I mean, we're here trying to wisely manage the resource from a biological and social standpoint, but those numbers are real. And so what importance does the public place on the economic contribution of non-residents? And if that's going to be limited, then what part of the budget that we work with are residents willing to give up or restrict if those numbers change? Number seven on the list is when South Dakota residents become non-residents, do our policies here affect them there? I don't know as we have any really hard numbers on that either, but depending on, you can find surveys that reflect, and sometimes more South Dakotans go out and hunt and fish in other states than non-residents come here and hunt and fish. And you know, those, I won't go through all those numbers, but they exist. Some, I think, would, and maybe that's what we should do, but some would say we should put up a fence, really, and not allow non-residents in for this or that, or maybe broader than that. Question, one of the questions being, if we put that fence up, does that then mean that our residents wouldn't be able to leave? Would that fence become a barrier when we want to hunt and fish elsewhere? And again, what does the public think about that? Eight on the list is what are the criteria? I mean, what are the fair criteria that the commission should use for determining these issues that we deal with more and more? And then nine on the list is how do we best engage the public in this discussion? So I think at least one of the goals is to have a informed and thoughtful public discussion on an increasingly sensitive subject to assist the commission in developing current criteria for a social and biological framework to move forward fairly and reasonably for South Dakotans and non-residents. Maybe we have a develop a plan, a management plan like we have done in wildlife. At the end of the day, what is the basis for the commission decisions on resident, non-resident issues? What are the policies that we are serving? How are we going to do that to wisely manage the resource? And so if somebody asks us to articulate the basis for the reasons that we make regarding restrictions or licenses or whatever else it may be, that we have a rational, reasonable, thoughtful, scientific basis for the decisions that we make. So I think we're going to start the discussion today. Hopefully we'll have more discussion now, get it put back on the agenda maybe in July, given our schedule in June. And we'll get this out and encourage everybody with an interest in it to come and tell us what they think, however they want to do it, emails or come to the commission or however they want to visit with us about it. So again, just to be clear, this is a commission discussion. It's not a department discussion. We're raising the issue, and we want to know what people think about it so we can make the decisions with the best possible thinking in mind. So thank you, and I'm really curious to see what people might think.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Yeah, that to a lot of us seemed pretty straightforward, but in reality, there are a number of unanswered questions that can certainly be discussed there. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Phillips.
Thank you. Commissioner Scott Phillips speaking. I just wanted to expand a little bit on a couple of the points Gary brought up. You did a great job explaining them. Number two, who are the non-residents? From a personal perspective, both my children have moved out of state and they live in other states. And when they come back, very important to me that they can buy a fishing license or maybe go pheasant hunting in South Dakota. I think that's a very important point that I want everybody to consider when they're making comments, that a lot of our out-of-staters are our own families that have moved out and would like to come back. Sometimes we think out-of-staters are just somebody we don't know, somebody we saw on a piece of public land, but in many cases they're our own family. In many cases our children or grandchildren, which is my case. Another kind of personal point is that I hunt and fish out of state, and I think most everybody, a big share of the people in South Dakota do. So keep that in mind also. When we go to Minnesota fishing or we go to Alaska moose hunting, we become non-residents. So keep that in mind when you're making your comments. And then I just wanted to touch on the Pittman Roberts and Dingle Johnson monies that come in. It's $17 million that is collected on paraphernalia that's sold for hunting and fishing, rifles, fishing equipment, and that's a real big number coming back into the state that's mostly raised out of state. So those are the three issues that kind of jumped out at me when I went through this and just wanted to bring them up and hope the public comments on them and hope they keep my comments in mind when they do. Thank you.
Okay, are there other comments on resident, non-resident?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Peterson.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Kathy Peterson. I would agree with Scott Phillips on that, as we do think about this good discussion about resident versus non-resident, is that many of the non-residents are family that look forward to coming home, and it's a tradition to come home to be together at opening pheasant weekend or whatever type of thing they decide to do, come fishing, and that we too become non-residents when we fish in another state or do something else. So that's a good point to keep in mind when we put a face to these people, to these non-residents.
Thank you. Okay. Any others? Yes, Secretary Hepler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kelly Hepler, Secretary. One of the things I think we do as a department is try to bring as much information in to help the commissioners in your discussion, and just make it clear there's no proposal in front of everybody. There's no petition or nothing. This truly is a discussion. Is when we get in, we start, we have, and we do this quite a bit in the state, and we were in a discussion earlier about an area north of Pier, and we're talking about quality hunting, and how do you define that? You know, I could go out in the audience right now, and everybody in this audience, like, say you're hunters, and I could ask you what quality means to you, and you're all going to have a little bit different answer, which is what I'd expect. And so then how do we put some science around that? And there's some ways on a qualitative social science side that Cindy is much more adept at this than I am, Dr. Longmire, that we can bring some information back. And so when we do start having conversations, we hear a lot around non-resident archery. That's really where it's come up a lot lately. And then we can actually bring some of that information into the discussion. And then, for example, I used to hunt Slim Buttes a lot when I was archery hunting. You know, it's a lot different 35 years ago than it is now. I mean, the world's changed. And I didn't see very many people then. And to me, that really was a quality hunt. I was after mule deer. It's a different world and a different people. But if I go up there now, and maybe if I see one non-resident, you know, if he's a Viking fan from Minnesota, that bothers me. Or maybe if he was a Packer from Wisconsin, wouldn't bother me as much. But those are internal things. And I kind of make that glibly, but that's representative. But that makes a point, though. Is I think with Dr. Longmire and some things they're doing is maybe some longer range work. And you know, what is a non-resident? And some of this information isn't, you know, it isn't like you can turn over tomorrow and get it either. It's going to take some time, and maybe 1 or 2 years, and how we want to do that. And so, it's an excellent discussion to have as a state. And we can have those things, but we'll try to bring as much information as we can in this as we go along. And then you can decide, you know, we're waiting for that type of information, you know, what actions, if any, you want to do in the meantime. And I don't know if Director, if you have anything to add to that, or Dr. Longmire, if you want to add into that conversation. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thank you. It's taped down. Might have to change that.
Hopefully it's close enough here. I'll try to.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Does it still work? Yeah. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon.
Commission Secretary Hepler, Tony Life, Director of the Wildlife Division. Been here listening and had the opportunity to have additional conversations with Commissioner Gary Jensen about this and help put some of the information together. Our mission here is to help you get to this place that you'd like to be on some comfort level in making those decisions. I think there's some things that are easier, some information that's easily obtained, and others that's going to take some time. Those characteristics of those non-residents that we have coming to the state, it would take some work, but that's something that we could start working on soon. You know, the characteristics of quality that Secretary Hepler spoke of obviously are a little more difficult to get at, and would take some more time. But I just want to make sure that you know that Dr. Longmire and I and the rest of our staff are stand ready to help wherever we can, again, attempting to identify that information that you would think would be helpful to your deliberations, discussions, and decisions.
Okay. Marianne.
Commissioner Boyd here. I've had a few conversations with folks in the local Yankton area about the subject, and the initial reaction is we don't care for non-residents. They're taking up our space. We'd prefer they go away. But when you continue the conversation, they do understand the points that Commissioner Phillips and Peterson have made that, well, some of those non-residents are family and friends, and we want them to come in. And I've just had initial conversations, but at the end of those, there is a sense that they understand this isn't going to go away, but they would prefer that non-resident rates not increase.
Okay. Fair enough. Yes.
Commissioner Sharp here. You know, things have changed over time, but in some ways they don't. And I think the non-resident-resident discussion could also go along the lines of, if you go out to your favorite fishing hole or favorite hunting spot, do you feel better if somebody got there first that they're a resident or a non-resident? You really don't care because they're there first. And the commission's heard this story before, but my father, when he was able to start fishing more full-time in the late 70s, early 80s, and he'd hunted and fished his whole life, it really got to be almost comical because he started going out to the river up to West Whitlock and then later on Spring Creek. Well, he'd only been out there a year or two, and he'd come back and he would always be so upset that he couldn't believe the nerve of people going out and fishing in his spot. Now, he'd only been out there a year or two, not recognizing there'd been people fishing there for 20 years, but it became his spot and nobody else belonged there. And I think that sometimes can happen in our, you know, sporting life and hunting and fishing. So I think this is a worthy discussion that we need to go forth because there is a lot of dollars involved, and those dollars generate offer the opportunity for the commission to do bigger and better things in the state. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Thank you. Okay. It is going to be an interesting conversation, and I think, you know, the implications of non-residents on our hunting and fishing here are clearly large, and we want to fully understand that in regards to hunting license, fees, the whole thing. And so it's important that we do have this discussion. I would also make note that Representative Goodwin has joined us here today, so nice to see you here.
Kathy Howard, too.
Okay, Kathy Howard, sorry. Welcome. Any other comments along that line before we move on? Yes.
Could we... I think we're in agreement that we'll put the subject back on the July agenda, and then that outline will go out, and we'll ask people to let us know what they think, and we'll continue the discussion then.
That is the plan, I believe. And then public will see that and are free to make their comments, and we'll take a look at all those. Okay, very good. Anything else before we leave that subject? Okay, let's move on to non-meandered waters. Kevin?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler, Kevin Roblin here, Special Projects Coordinator.